Hey, this is the choir master, Dr. Ricky Dillard, and you're hanging out with GrownFolksMusic.com.
Dr. Ricky Dillard, welcome to GrownFolksMusic.com.
Thank you.
Your new project is called Choir Master. What does it take to be a choir master?
Well, yeah, one is confidence, passion, skill, ability, and vision. Direction. Those are some of the things that I would think it would take to be a choir master.
You've been doing this for a long time. How do you get so many different individuals and so many different personalities to come under the vision and come under the direction?
What I've tried to do from its very existence of New G, my organization, was to train those who came aboard in the beginning to sharpen and prepare them to make our ministry attractive, that it drew others who had the same passions, desires, to do music or to be part of an organization, music organization. And I trained it to the point that it was just attractive that people wanted to be a part. And once I got them under it, under this umbrella, I organized it, structured it, gave it rule and regulation, and ruled it with a hard fist. My humble beginnings was pretty hard. I've become more compassionate in my older years. But my earlier years, I was a very... I ruled with a very hard fist, and I believe that continued through the 32 years of our ministry, especially for some who have been there the whole 32 years. Some have not moved their feet in 32 years. And then as we brought on singers, they carried over to every member that came into our organization. They carried those teachings and imparted those teachings into the newcomers. So that's the way I was able to really maintain the membership and those within it who may have big personalities and also visionarians themselves.
You mentioned ruling with a hard fist. You cite someone who was a taskmaster as one of the people you look to, Dr. Maddie Moss Clark. What was it about her that you saw and wanted to take some of that or was inspired by that? What about her inspires you as a leader of a choir?
I think my first attraction to Dr. Maddie Clark was her Pentecost drive musically, her creative writing, music preparation of the music that drew my ear. And I did not meet her, hearing her music in the 70s, I did not meet her until 1980. And when I sat in her class, I was moved on her ability to teach such a large group of people parts, musical parts, sectional parts, the soprano, the altos, the tenors, and the bass. I was really inspired on how she trained. And I took those tools of her teachings and training choirs. I added them to my own passions and started my first high school gospel choir and ended up directing local choirs, church choirs, that is, community choirs, that is, until I was to birth the New Generation Chorale, New G, in 1988.
Obviously, you look for talent, but what else do you look for in your choir members?
I definitely look for the talent. I look for the it factor, the ability to express, the ability to engage an audience, the ability to have skill with captivating a stage, a look, your appearance. is also something, even if I see that your appearance is not up to par, I believe that we can train you to look the part, to feel the part, to act the part. And I believe a lot of singers that have come to my stage and come under my umbrella, they might not have come as sharpened, but I could see potential in them, that they had a full package and not just could sing, but they had a full it factor that would fit on my stage.
You mentioned style. I was going to bring up that you guys are fly and color coordinated for Jesus. Talk about the style of the choir.
Well, it's the most amazing thing that we started out in robes in 89, 90. And I did robes, which was an influential thing from those persons of influence, such as Dr. Clark, Milton Bronson, Charles G. Hayes, Reverend Clay Evans, to name it, Reverend James Cleveland. These people were uniform people. And then I also stood on stage with people like Reverend Milton Bronson and the Tommies, who were very coordinated. But when I started my own organization, I knew how I wanted my kids to look. And when I would see that in my vision, I executed that vision. I'm not afraid of colors personally. So I had no problem putting those colors on the choir. And the choir members, they very rarely had issue with anything that I would present to them. They seemed to have trusted that. But it was all about what I saw. It's all about making them see what I see and letting them execute that so that they could also really, really see that we're on point and we're with it.
Coming back to the album, you have a few features on the album. How do you decide when you will feature a guest artist on your album, or whether you will strictly have members of the choir as lead vocalists?
Mm-hmm. Well, within the choir, I prefer and have always, from the very beginning of recording, I've always tried to build the choir members, especially those who had exceptional skill to stand out front, to make us all shine. You have skill, you can work the stage, you can gauge the audience, you can pull in the anointing, you can pull down the power of God with your gift to minister, not just sing, but your gift to minister. And when I would see various singers within the choir, if I would pass the mic to them, if they ripped that stage up, that let me know, and that they were consistent to rip it up when I would pass them the mic, I knew that they were ready for the records, the recordings, to be lead singers on the recording. And I pretty much know all of my singers' ability, whether or not you are a good lead singer or a mediocre lead singer or you need more training. I kind of know those things. And if I got a song that came across my desk and I felt like one of them fitted, I would try them on it and I would have them to do a test of the song, learn the song, and minister the song to me. And if I got that you painted the picture of the message of this song, then you are our lead singer. If I did not find that within the choir, then that's when I would go out for collaboration and inviting guests, popular or non-popular, that I felt needed an opportunity or deserved an opportunity to record with us. And that's how I normally choose.
What does it mean to you to be recording on the legendary Motown label?
It's everything. To have a career over 32 years, I have been in different systems, but not a large system and machine such as Motown Universal. And when we were asked to come aboard, I felt like I deserved it. I should be there. I have been here a long time without this type of backing. And it's time. So I thank God for also giving me the grace, the favor of being a part of the Motown, legendary Motown family, on the gospel side especially.
Over the past 20 years or so, I would say, there seems to have been a shift from choirs to praise and worship teams. Do you think that now it's a great season or the season to bring back choirs and choir style music?
Indeed. I have no clue of why it was even kicked off, because choir music has always been relevant. I don't know what happened. I felt like the shift of kicking off choir music or kicking choirs out of the loft came when radio changed their format and programming.
Talk about that.
And it felt like they were saying that they wanted to hear more of a secular sounding music. Not so much Pentecost, the sound of Pentecost or the sound of church, where you hear tambourines and people screaming in the background. Yeah, that's churchy, you know what I'm saying? But we want to, I guess, and I've heard different things throughout time that a lot of the leaders of broadcasting companies felt like their sponsorships didn't want stuff too hard around Jesus. But these are stories that we were told. I don't know how true they were, but I'm trying to figure out what's the difference of a new sounding gospel versus an old sounding gospel. So I felt those were the things that kind of kicked the choir off. And for me, the choir's always been relevant. I never went nowhere. When they kicked the praise and worship and everybody had to sing praise and worship, I still did my churchy stuff. But if it meant that I had to add to my repertoire some praise and worship, I did that so that I could fit into the now. But I never personally changed my style. I tried to continue to advance the choir sound, the choir style musically, the repertoire regiment of our sound, or collaborations of whether it be gospel and R&B or gospel and pop or God, whatever we had to do to stay alive. But I and New G never went anywhere. We've still been recording this our style. I'm not a praise and worship singer, or my choir is not a praise and worship group. My choir is a gospel choir, and we have already laid our foundations in 1988. So through time, we just shifted with time, but we never went anywhere. We've always been here, and we're still relevant and going to continue to remain relevant as we move forward with the sounds of the choir.
What do you think it is about gospel music that ministers differently than maybe some of the other styles of gospel music?
Well, people are always moved more to what they are familiar with. And it takes something that will shift them to accept something else. I told the story all the time when I am in interviews that music or ministry is like a bowl of fruit. It is, you have apples, oranges, pears, bananas, grapes, all in this basket. But if you reach into the basket and pull out one of those fruit, know that that one fruit is still good for the body's sake. So it doesn't matter what you pull in there for. All of the fruit is good. You just got to pull out what you want to eat. And that's how I look at the gospel genre of music, that whether it's contemporary, traditional, fast, ballads, whatever, it's all based on what you want to eat, and it is all there and good for your body.
I can't let you go without talking about the house gospel remixes of some of your songs and your house music roots under some legends in the house music game. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. When I was 20, 21 years old, I would visit various clubs and ended up meeting a crew of people that I don't even know how I got to DJ International Records in Chicago. That piece gets me, but I do remember meeting Farley Jackmaster Funk at DJ International. And I wanted to be a recording artist, and that was one of the avenues, was to do some house stuff. So I ended up down there, maybe it might have been with Farley or something, but anyway, just to make a long story short, I got there and he asked me to come in the studio with him. And maybe I was singing around the DJ International Records office or something, and he heard me. He said, man, you should come to the studio. So I went to the studio with him one day, and we were in there, and he asked me to sing a line of a song. And I went in and cut the song, and that happened to be like on a Monday or a Tuesday. Do you know, on Friday night, my voice was heard on the radio from that little piece of line that he gave me. I heard me on the radio on the Hot Mix 5, because the DJs had this thing called Hot Mix 5 in Chicago, and they played house all night, Friday, house. And I found myself on that, but Frankie Knuckles stopped in the studio that night. He was in another room, and he heard me singing. And I met Frankie that night, and we ended up connecting, and I ended up start working with him as well. So it was an avenue of rubbing elbows that got me into the house music scene to record songs with them, and then have my own songs. And then I was signed to DJ International Records, and I had a full album import from Europe, from London. It was just a movement through time that got me there. And then I was asked to do something with my choir, with Frankie, also Steve Silk Hurley and Nesby, and I have done some things to get a house track together. Then I put some house things on my previous records. Maybe one or two times I put a house track on one of my previous albums. So when we started to prepare this Choir Master album, I called Steve Silk Hurley to see if he and I could collab again, because I had a very big success with one of his songs, to see if we can collaborate for the Choir Master album. And I had mentioned it to Motown, but me and Steve didn't get together to make it happen. So I told Steve, let's just do it next album. But in the interim of the pandemic, the team got together and say, what you think about that idea on house mixes? And they started to move forward on it. And here we are with the finishing of 5 remake cuts, house tracks of Choir Master.
I love the house remixes. I really do. I'm from Detroit, so I like house music.
Yes.
So we know a little bit about that and about.
Of course, because I used to come to party. I used to party in Detroit too.
So I love them. I love them.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My last question for you is: what is your definition of grown folks music?
You know, that could be many, many different terms of grown folks music. Grown folks music could be music that hit the realities of people's lives. And whomever wrote the song wrote it so that it's grown folks talk. This ain't young folks talk. You talk about Marvin Gaye. You talk about, I'm going to use one example. I was born by the river in a little tent. That's grown folks music. Because the youngsters don't know the struggle of what he's talking about. You understand? So that's grown folks music. Or you talk about baby making music. Or you talk about love music. Or heartbreak music. It's so much so many terms that could be used for grown folks music, but those would be my terms of what I just called out in reference to the various realities that have been written that really hit people in their hearts.
This weekend, you're going to be on the episode of Sunday Best. Shout that out really quickly and shout out where we can follow you in New Generation, where we can stream, download, buy the album Choir Master, and all things Dr. Ricky Dillard and NG.
Thank you. This coming Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, will be featured on the Season 10 of Sunday Best. I'm humbled to be gracing the platform with my constituents, Kirk Franklin, Erica Campbell, Jonathan McReynolds, and Kelly Price, and as well as the contestants who are in competition to be Sunday's Best. Tune in this coming Sunday night. It's going to be fabulous. It is a tribute to the choir, and I am the choir guest. And if you will want to download this new EP, or for that fact, our full album of 11, 12 tracks, Choir Master, you can download them iTunes and wherever you buy music. You can stream them from Spotify's to Dial's and forthcoming. If you'd like to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram, Ricky Dillard, Facebook, Dr. Ricky Dillard, and Twitter, Ricky Dillard. And if you'd like to see some of our performances, we have live performances from our previous albums on my YouTube channel. I'd like for you to like and subscribe to Ricky Dillard TV, Ricky Dillard TV, and you will witness the entire album of the Choir Master, all videos from the live performances in Chicago that we recorded last September 2019. And if you'd like to book us for a virtual performance, because we're not doing actually in-person performances yet, but we are doing virtual ones, you can call us at 347-538-1668, and we are awaiting your call.
Dr. Ricky Dillard, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I want to tell all the grown folks, y'all go to the YouTube and look at the live video. And I don't want to get the title wrong, Dr. Dillard. Is it Never Going Back? Not Going Back at the end of that, the live version.
I won't go back. Yes.
I won't go back. You guys have to catch out, grown folks. The dance at the end, they get it started. They get it started for Jesus. It's a whole vibe.
Yes,
so.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
I want the groans to go check it out. Once again, Dr. Ricky Dillard. GrownFolksMusic.com. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Kimberly. I appreciate the time.